A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you this football season and start betting smarter with the VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up now and save 10% off a VSiN Pro annual subscription when you use promo code ANG. Get full access to everything we do, including our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Remember to use code promo, or I should say promo code. What just happened right there? Did I just have a medical event? ANG, a numbers game. I became my mom.
What have we decided to? We've got a couple possible prizes for. You got to hit that ANG promo code. You might get video of the exclusive Matt Brown kicking a field goal.
Well, first of all, remember to use promo code ANG. That'll save you 10% off a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. All the details, sign up, I should say, at VSiN.com/subscribe. Jack Larkin just texted about that, Kelly. He said, or tweeted, pardon me, about that. He just said, do we all have our alarm set for Friday's Matt Brown field goal kicking? Is it happening?
Okay. Jack, I'm glad you tweeted about this. I'm glad I'm given a moment to discuss this as the commissioner or organizer of this event. I'll bring everybody up to speed, okay?
Oh, God.
We've waited this long, Gil, okay? Yes, so I think everybody can understand that I'm not doing this. We're not doing this without it getting on video, okay?
Correct.
So I am organizing the production team, if you will, okay, of a person or people that will be out there for this kick. I've pretty much got that set. Location is the next thing because, you know, not just you can't just go anywhere.
There are goalposts everywhere.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So, unfortunately, I don't think this Friday is going to happen. I think we're going to have to push back to next Friday, but the wheels are finally in motion is the point.
Okay.
Okay? It's finally in motion.
And you got your spray tan set up.
Yeah, that's on Matt. I don't know. I'm organizing his field goal. He's got to organize my tan, okay?
And last thing on this, then. Are you using this as an incentive for people to put in ANG? Is that what you were suggesting?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So you're holding back the video until they put in ANG? Is that what's going on?
Glad to see, yeah.
Is that what's happening?
Man, we got a shot already. Who knows?
So yesterday on the show, we gave a passionate analysis on last team to remain undefeated. The conclusion was, my conclusion was San Francisco ought to be the short shot. I think they were close to being the short shot, if not just second by a hair. And that New Orleans of all teams, who I don't even think is really all that good, really was the best value as a long shot. And as far as the last winless team, Arizona absolutely should be the short shot. But we gave a passionate speech, I did, because I already have this preflop, of Carolina being the best value play. And you could have got it yesterday during this show at about the same number I got at preflop. I got it just shy of 16-1. It was available at 14-1. It is down to 10-1 after our dissertation yesterday, Kelly.
Makes sense.
On that one. So we'll see.
That number still might be a little long.
It still might be. But again, think about what we're saying. Arizona still deserves to be,
yeah.
Right? But then Carolina, because Carolina really could be Ofer through their bye coming up in several weeks. All right, so today we wanted to talk about MVP. We want to talk about Offensive Rookie of the Year. Did you have a preflop bet on? Not a preflop, actually after week one bet. And then we also want to talk about Comeback Player of the Year because DeMar ain't played yet. So let's talk Most Valuable Player, MVP, Tua Tagovailoa. Tua Tagovailoa is the short shot now at 6-1. Tagovailoa is right now leads the NFL in yards passing, but not by any significant margin, it should be pointed out, Kelly. I believe it's only a 7-yard lead over Kirk Cousins for that statistic. But Tagovailoa is your short shot. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, the Huge, your usual suspects at 7-1. Then Jalen Hurts at +850. Everybody else, double digits, beginning with Lamar Jackson, who has fallen to 12-1. I will give you one that, and man, I don't want to take away Will Hill's steam. Maybe I'll ask him about this later. But he was asking yesterday offline, is there value on Brock Purdy at 22-1? Now, Brock Purdy statistically, at least to this point, and one would project forward, might not knock your socks off.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's the quarterback of a football team that ends up, I don't know, let's go 14-3 or 15-2, let's just be conservative about that, if that sounds conservative. Because who knows? I don't want to say 17-0, in other words. They could be less than that. But let's just say 14-3. Is there a path for a Brock Purdy in a year where, let's just look at the landscape through two games. Mahomes is Mahomes. Maybe there's betting fatigue. Obviously, his offense is hasn't been as good so far.
Still
through
getting
two
it together.
Josh Allen looked terrible in week one, looked great in week two. Jalen Hurts, the Eagles look not to be quite as good as they were last year, only through two games. I get it. Miami, sure. And then there's the obviously the Tua caveats, which you hate. If he stays healthy, we all know about the Dolphins, which is, can we really trust them to be all that good in the end? Maybe you can, maybe you can't. The point being that everyone of Joe Burrow hurt. We don't even know if he's playing this week.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert, sure, great. He hasn't done anything wrong, but they're 0-2 in Los Angeles. Deshaun looks diminished. In a year where no one else thus far seems to have stood out, besides maybe Tua, is Brock Purdy a good bet at 22-1?
I don't hate it. This goes without saying. Of course, I think I'd want it a little bit longer.
Sure.
But I think there's a path. To answer your original question, is there a path? Yes. If they end up 14-3 and the number one team in the NFC, and this dude keeps winning like that, and we're going to sit there at the end of the day and say, oh, over a year and a half span of him playing football, he's lost three games and won, what would he have won at that point, 20 or something like that? I mean, that's an incredible start to a career. We keep hearing, we keep racking up the wins of how he started as a starter. Yes, I think that's going to be in the mainstream media over and over and over again. And, I absolutely think there's something there. You know, I've brought it up just like I've brought up with Tua. Like, the guy doesn't get enough credit. We always want to pick out what he does wrong. And sure, yeah, he missed a lot of big throws last week.
Yeah.
But, like, if he keeps winning, you can't deny him that.
We'll continue this with Will and get his thoughts on Brock Purdy. But I just want to say, this has become, over the last 4 years, a de facto quarterback award. And I don't want to get locked into that. Like, I think we have to consider that this might go the other way at some point. Christian McCaffrey is 55-1. Christian McCaffrey's 55-1, obviously through 2 weeks, leads the NFL in rushing yards. He has 268. Bijan Robinson at 180 is next best. And then receiving yards. Remember, I have a Tyreek Hill to win the MVP bet at 75-1. Tyreek Hill, who says he wants to get to 2,000. But Justin Jefferson has more receiving yards through 2 weeks than he does. Justin Jefferson has 309. Puka Nacua has 266. And then Tyreek, after a week where he didn't do much, has 255. Do you think there is a viable bet on either Christian McCaffrey, who's north of 50-1, or either of those receivers, Jefferson or Tyreek? Will leave Puka Nacua for the Offensive Rookie of the Year discussion.
I think it's a great question. As of right now, I think, yes, you could make a case that there's a viable bet. I'll even throw one more in there.
Who?
How about a defensive player?
How
about a Micah Parsons if he keeps going like he's going?
Yeah, I think that's a little more of a stretch, but I think the main thing I want to get across about MVP is I think thinking about in a year where it looks like some of the usual suspects aren't going to necessarily have the seasons we expected of them for varying reasons that we just went through.
Which is why we didn't bet it preseason.
We didn't
bet it
preseason.
Because there was like four names at the top that we thought deserved to be at the top.
But it's why I have a Tyreek bet. I don't know that I won't add a Christian McCaffrey bet at some point, too. Like, I think this is the year where it might happen for a non-quarterback. Offensive Rookie of the Year, I have the Puka. Oh, go ahead.
It's a lot more live right now.
Yes.
Like, right now where we stand, it is way more live than it was 3 weeks ago, and it might be way more live than it was 3 weeks from now.
I think it's a thing this year. Offensive Rookie of the Year, I have a Puka Nacua bet at 25-1. I did that after week one. Do you know what he was for the month leading up to the regular season? From like mid-August to September 7th.
200-1.
You know what he was right back here at Circa?
What?
Puka Nacua for Offensive Rookie of the Year was 500-1.
Oh, my gosh.
500-1. So I'm not even saying, hey, look at my 25-1, because trust me, it was 30-1, and before I could even press the button, it was 25-1.
Right.
So I'm not even saying that with any sort of pride. He's 8-1 now. He's the third shot. Bijan is plus 175, and Anthony Richardson concussed plus 225. Anthony Richardson still feels like the guy here because he's the quarterback?
I think so, yes.
But I will just say this. If Puka Nacua continues to get 10 to 15 targets a week and catches 8 to 10 passes a week, let's just say, I don't know how you keep it out of his... I don't know how you don't vote for him.
No, I get it.
It's too much volume.
I think this goes back to a kind of like Tua conversation, right? Because we're seeing it with Anthony Richardson, and he's going to be a guy who runs the ball a whole lot more than what Tua is going to run. But okay, so, you know, in concussion, dealing with the concussion right now this week, if he can stay on the field, I think he's the guy to beat. Hey, no matter what the odds dictate right now, I think he's the guy to
because he's the quarterback,
yeah.
Right?
Although, and he's not going to get pulled off the field ever.
Right.
It's his rookie year. The Colts know they have to grow with this guy. They're going to keep letting him play and keep letting him play his way.
What about Stroud? Besides Tua, Kirk Cousins, and Matthew Stafford, Stroud with the most passing yards through 2 weeks in the NFL, number four.
Yeah,
Stroud is 13-1,
and he's going to keep slinging it around. I don't hate that bet. It just feels like I don't believe the Texans are going to win enough games for him to really win this award. Yeah. And I don't know how much that matters, but I think it matters a little bit. I don't think you can have two wins and win this one.
I like my Puka bet, my Nacua bet, but the quarterbacks ought to still be where you're looking here. By the way, Zay Flowers is 13-1. He's outstanding. He just doesn't have the numbers, but boy, is he great. We'll do Comeback Player of the Year, and Will Hill joins us with all his picks, baseball, college football, pro football, next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. Little Casey and the Sunshine Band this morning. Little Beatles. It's a very eclectic playlist in here.
You know, who's this right now? This is Casey and the Sunshine Band.
They were just on the case. I don't know what it is now. I can't hear through that.
Huey Lewis in the News or something.
Oh, this is In Excess.
Okay.
New Sensation.
Same thing.
Yeah. In Excess. INXS. Okay, coming up this hour, still we've got to talk about baseball seeding and bets that are available with baseball seeding. We'll talk about all baseball tiebreakers, and man, what a day of baseball today, Kelly. I know you're not really a baseball guy, but full day baseball, so many implications, and that Giants-D-backs game is massive. Come on, Giants, do something. Do something.
It sounds great. Where do I watch the sport at?
See, I get the Giants. I get Bay Area TV on my YouTube TV.
Okay.
So I still can watch the
Giants. I get the Diamondbacks.
Oh, see, I don't get them. Well, that's weird. Okay. We'll talk about all these things. By the way, the Browns have just signed. So Kevin Stefanski went out of his way to say Jerome Ford is now our guy with the injury to Nick Chubb. And they just now, after he said that, they signed Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, I mean, they said they were probably going to add someone. But yes, Kareem Hunt has been signed, 1 year deal worth up to $4 million.
Yeah, running backs, man, who the whole, you know, offensive football when I was a kid went through running backs, right? That's how football was. And through the years, it became more of a passing game. And you think about a guy like Kareem Hunt, who was great with Kansas City, and then his career got derailed because on video, kicking a woman. He lied to the Chiefs about it. It's like, sorry, Kareem, we have a video of you doing it. But the Browns end up taking him. He spent like three seasons with the Browns. Now he's back with the Cleveland Browns. But you were just saying off air, which I was thinking about yesterday, too. Guys like him and Leonard Fournette, they're just on the street.
Yeah, on the street. And you're talking not even 30 years old then. Like, these guys are, you know, late 20s. And, yeah, I mean, it just speaks more to what we heard all offseason of what really is the market for some of these running backs. And
those guys had a Zoom call, and then now, you know, Nick Chubb gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows if his career is in jeopardy? Saquon's out for a few weeks. Oh, we don't know if Saquon's out for a few weeks. Saquon might play this week for all Brian Daboll said yesterday. So let's talk to Mike Pritchard. He actually played the game. He knows all about this stuff way more than we do. National champion at the University of Colorado, first-round draft pick with the Atlanta Falcons. VSiN's own Mike Pritchard. How you doing, Pritch?
Actually played running back too before I moved wide receiver.
So what was the thinking going into that? Did a coach suggest that? Did you suggest it? How'd that go?
You know what? It's interesting. I mean, Eric Bieniemy became our tailback, and we were in competition together along with JJ Flanagan and a couple other guys. And I was a slight frame guy, you know, 6 feet, 180 pounds, whereas Eric was the stocky, stronger running back. I mean, you're talking about 5'7", 200 pounds at the time. And so durability was a question, right? My ability to play running back, that wasn't a question. It was durability, like what you're talking about, what you and Kelly were just talking about. It's a tough position, you know, not only running the football, but pass protecting, right? You're still in collisions. You still have collisions on the field, even in pass protection. So durability is the biggest question mark for a lot of guys. And if you're well built, or if you can carry the muscle necessary on your frame, then certainly you can be effective. But The longevity aspect of it, too, kind of swayed my decision, if you will, too. I wanted to be on the field. Eric Bieniemy was a Heisman Trophy candidate, and I thought with my ability on the outside as a wide receiver, if we could put those two dynamics in play on the field, we would be effective as a team offensively.
And a national championship ensued. So you were quick to accept that? You were just like, you know what, that sounds great, I'll do it. Because, you know, some kids will be like, no, I'm a running back.
Yeah, no, because it's funny because I actually wore number 35 in Atlanta. And Glanville said to me, you know, if it doesn't work out for you at wide receiver, we're going to move you back to running back because we know what you can do.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I would have had to bulk up, obviously, and that would have been fine. I probably could have did that. But no, it is a tough position. One of the things that scares you as a player is when a grown man allows you to know that he's hurt, right? That's the best way to describe it. Like, you know, you're playing with the Ricky Waters of the world or the Terrell Davises of the world. And, you know, you're playing back in the day, Eric Dickerson, right? But when they get hit and they grunt and they're coming back to the huddle in so much pain.
Oh.
I mean, that really puts it in perspective. And for the fans out there, you just don't see it. A lot of guys, they suck it up and they play through it. But what happened to Nick Chubb certainly is so unfortunate. But each and every game day, the pain threshold of that position is off the charts.
All right. Let me ask you some things that are related to what we were just talking about. So first of all, your Colorado days. Colorado, the biggest story in college football in a year where, again, it's the last year of having a four-team playoff. And it's kind of the usual suspects. I think people are kind of bored of it. They're ready right for the 12-team playoff. And we're sick of seeing the Ohio States and the Alabamas and the Georgias of the world. Colorado's the biggest story. What a shot in the arm for college football. But this is where the rubber meets the road, right? 3-0, dramatic, unbelievable win in overtime against Colorado State last week. They don't cover, but obviously they get the win. Now they're without Travis Hunter. They're three touchdown dogs here, Mike.
Yeah.
What do you realistically think they can do here?
I think they can get inside a number. And here's why. I think as bettors or even as bookmakers, maybe people are conditioned to be top heavy in conferences because of so long with this same format, you know, the college football playoff that we've had and the four teams. But if you look throughout history, you know, the SEC has been top heavy. The ACC has been top heavy. The Pac-12, maybe top heavy in terms of one or two teams, like the Big Ten even, top heavy. So now that you have the transfer portal and a disbursement of talent across the land, now you're getting back to my day in which Colorado can come up and win the Big Eight back-to-back years, right? Or you have other teams that can be highly competitive. I think the middle of the pack type of teams in a particular conference, they have just as much of a chance to win their conference or go into this playoff situation in the future because the options for so many players wanting to get on the field. Look at DJ at Oregon State. I mean, look at Penix, you know, at Washington now. And so you have a disbursement of talent all across the land now. And you have people like Shedeur Sanders, who not a lot of rating agencies knew a lot about, but they're finding out quick, fast, in a hurry how good he is. So there's a lot of dynamic in play. I think from a betting standpoint, we could take advantage of that, of all that.
But you are stopping short. I don't want to give Dion a receipt here, Mike, but you are stopping short of an outright upset call here.
You know, I wouldn't be shocked if they did upset Oregon. I believe they'll get inside a number. In fact, I'll bet it to get inside a number, you know, in terms because Shedeur is just that good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Colorado has a chance offensively because of the weapons that they have. But that quarterback, if you watch him play and examine how he plays, he is that good. And so we need the defense to show up. That's true. I don't know if that's going to happen. But can Oregon respond to a team that can score over 30 points? I'm curious about that because if you look at who Oregon has played so far, Texas Tech, you know, a little bit of that. But if you get around 30 points, 35 points, now you're putting pressure on a team that's supposed to run away with this thing.
Yeah. Shedeur is my Heisman guy. And boy, would I love to see Colorado make this competitive this week. About your guy, Eric Bieniemy, who you just discussed. Mm-hmm. Washington is among, transitioning to the NFL, among the nine teams that are 2-0. No one saw this coming. They were down 18 to Denver at that point. You know, I was like, oh, same old Skins for me, right? But here they are, and now they're big dogs at home to Buffalo. Should we not? You know, that's one of these games where you sort of throw off. You're like, oh yeah, Buffalo, they're back to what they were last week. Washington, everybody thinks, you know, not really a real true blue 2-0. You know, like the other kind of 2-0s, like the Cowboys and Philly, for instance. But are we sort of diminishing Eric Bieniemy's impact on this team? Because that offense, man, they don't come back from 18 in any other year, Mike. I can tell you that.
Gil, I think we're diminishing a lot of things when it comes to Eric and his coaching ability and his acumen as a play caller, and certainly being able to bring the best out of players. Look at Sam Howell and how he played in that game and that ball placement that he had with some of those players that out there on the field to come back from behind and beat Denver. There was some griping going on. The players, I think, will remain nameless of the ones who didn't like Eric's style of coaching. But it produces results. I remember, you know, years ago talking to Eric when they drafted, who's the running back out of Oklahoma? His name escapes me. He went to Minnesota. Hall of Famer.
Adrian Peterson. Yeah.
I mean, the excitement in his voice, because I had to call him. I had to text him and call him, and the excitement of his voice, he couldn't wait to work with somebody like that. So his enthusiasm for the game, you can see that in his players right now, offensively. Now, the problem for me, I think, will be defensively, and Del Rio, man, Del Rio's got to, he's got to catch up to 2023 and really help out that defense, right? So I think Josh Allen has a choke gene. I think in tight games that shows up. And if Washington can keep this game tight, I like the Washington Commanders, to be honest with you. 2-0, I love their play selection standpoint. They're balanced 60-40 pass run. I think they're going to implement the running game a little bit more, be a little bit more physical as well. And we'll see if Buffalo can stand up to that.
Yeah, commodes, 6.5-point home dogs against the Buffalo Bills this weekend. Real quick, because we have 10 seconds, but your favorite play you think this week might be?
Oh, man. You know what? I'm really looking at Pittsburgh and Vegas. You know, big Sunday night matchup, a grudge match. I want to see if the Steelers are for real.
Okay.
But then so much curiosity with the Raiders, too. So that could be my favorite play this week.
Pritch, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. You guys have a great day.
Mike Pritchard, Colorado alum. What a season for him here early on with his Buffaloes. We'll come back. Not only will we talk to Joe Pitadex, but he's got a story on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We got a subscription contest going between the shows here at VSiN, and we need your help to win. That's a subscription contest is what that is, Kelly.
A little slip there.
What did I say? At stake is a $1,000 voucher at Circa Sportsbook to be used on a Super Bowl futures ticket to sweeten the deal for you. You'll save 10% when you sign up for a new VSiN annual subscription. That's a pro annual subscription, VSiN Pro, and use promo code ANG. That's for a numbers game. Bragging rights and a juicy futures ticket is on the line. It's time to start betting smarter and help us do the same. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up for a new VSiN Pro annual subscription. Save 10% with promo code ANG. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. You excited about this, Kelly? No.
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
Okay.
Yeah. Get us paid.
Get us paid?
Get the
listeners paid.
Yeah, I'm more worried about us continuing to get paid, okay? That's it.
Okay.
We don't want to finish last. We don't know what happens if you
relegation.
Last.
Could be relegation, everybody. All right, tiebreakers, American League and National League. So we were going to do this whole seeding segment we had planned today, and we'll get to what happened earlier this morning. So, but tiebreakers of the American League. Now, in the American League, tiebreakers are going to apply when it comes to, obviously, maybe at the top of the AL East, where Baltimore currently has a 2.5 game lead over the Tampa Bay Rays, but Baltimore has the tiebreaker there. It also applies to the American League West, where Houston has a half game lead over both the Rangers and the Mariners, but all three teams are tied in the loss column at 68. Houston is 84-68, while the Rangers and Mariners are both 83-68. So it's anybody's division. Here are your tiebreakers. And remember, tiebreakers in Major League Baseball now are decided on head-to-head competition. And if you are tied in head-to-head, then, Kelly, it goes to the ridiculous intra-division record. Now, when it comes when it comes to winning a division, well, that's fine, because it's the same division. But when it comes to teams competing for a wild card, it's the most ridiculous thing ever, because you would, in essence, take, you know, Team A from the American League East, what's their record in the American League East, and juxtapose it against Team B in the American League West, and what's their record in the American League West. It's a stupid tiebreaker. But anyway, in the West itself, Seattle has the tiebreaker over Houston on head-to-head. Houston has the tiebreaker over Texas, and Texas has the tiebreaker over Seattle. So it's a little round robin. Now, the Texas-Seattle one, they still play each other seven more times, and Texas is currently up 5-1. So Seattle could conceivably have the tiebreaker over Texas, but Texas has the big, big lead in it. So you understand, right now it's a round robin, Seattle over Houston, Houston over Texas, Texas over Seattle, with that last one still pending. When it comes to the AL wild card tiebreaker, this now also involves Toronto. So take whichever two teams don't win the AL West and the Toronto Blue Jays, whereas in the wild card race right now, Toronto is 84-67, while right now the Rangers and Mariners are 83-68. So it's a, you know, it's a one game lead. Toronto has the tiebreaker over Houston, Texas has the tiebreaker over Toronto, and Seattle has the tiebreaker over Toronto. So all of that in the mix in the American League. We'll get to these seeding odds momentarily. Let me just take you to the National League wild card picture. This is a little more simple because there's no divisions really that are up for grabs in the National League. These are all wild card implications. The Chicago Cubs, who currently inhabit the number two wild card position, they lose all tiebreakers to the Diamondbacks, Reds, and Marlins. But the Cubs would have the tiebreaker over the Giants. The Giants would have the tiebreaker over both the Reds and the Marlins, but their tiebreaker over Arizona will be determined today, Kelly, because those two teams have split the first 12 games this year. Okay. Cincinnati and Miami also have the tiebreaker over Arizona, and Miami has the tiebreaker over Cincinnati. Most of these are head-to-head, but some of these have to go to the second tiebreaker of intra-division record. For instance, that last one, Miami versus Cincinnati. Miami and Cincinnati actually 3-3 this year, but Miami's record in the NL East is 25-23, whereas Cincinnati's 19-27 in the NL Central, so they have no shot at that. Now, there's more tiebreakers that apply, and this comes to seedings. Right now in the American League, the second seed is still up for grabs. Houston, as I mentioned, right now has the half-game lead over both the Rangers and the Mariners. So right now, they are the number two seed, right, by a half a game. But the Minnesota Twins are only four games behind Houston currently. Minnesota's remaining schedule at Cincinnati today, and then three home against the Angels, three home against the Athletics, three at the Rockies. Whereas Houston, after they play Baltimore today, they do have three against the Royals, but then they got to go to Seattle for three and Arizona for three, and it's going to matter to both Seattle and Arizona those final six games collectively. So Minnesota right now at DraftKings is 50-1 to get the number two seed. Now, as I was mentioning at the beginning of the show, we actually had this segment planned, Kelly, but Mitch and Paulie before us, they stumbled into this earlier when it was 110-1, so they actually got it knocked down to 50-1.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So in the last 2 hours, you and I were like feverishly doing this planning of we'll get all the tiebreakers, we'll do all the seeding.
I built it, it was 60-1. So it came down even from there, from 60 to 50. Okay.
So there it is, the American League number two seed odds. Astros are -105, Mariners +170. You see the Twins are 60-1. There's a path with that schedule. It's 50-1 now. There's a path with that schedule that Twins could actually get there. Now, can you rely on the Twins, for those of us who watch baseball on a daily basis, and you're like, well, the Twins got to really win all these games now. Can you rely on this baseball team on a daily basis? I mean, not really. So even with a great schedule, 50-1 is still appropriately a long shot, but it is tantalizing because of that schedule, if they could just get their act together. Now, as far as the American League number five seed, because remember now, this is, you essentially have three teams whichever two teams don't win the AL West and the Toronto Blue Jays, you essentially have three teams competing for the number five position. But the team that's currently in the lead in the American League West is obviously involved in this as well. And that's really, those are really the four. I know we have Tampa Bay on the screen as well, but they're really not going to be the number five. See, they're too far ahead to really be considered here. Jays are the favorite at minus 160, but the Rangers plus 350, the Astros plus 550, and the Mariners 6-1. I mean, you could really take a shot, because Will was making a point earlier that if you took a couple teams at plus money, you're sort of guaranteed to make money. And I can't remember what market he was talking about. Maybe it was the, was he talking about to make the playoffs, I think, for a couple of those teams in the AL West. This, you could apply the same sort of thing in the number five seed and the number six seed in the American League. If you really believe two teams have a better shot based on schedule above the fray, maybe you play it that way. But it is so jumbled for five and six in the American League that I really can't definitively make a recommendation on one team. It's too jumbled. You have no idea who's winning the AL West at this point, and the schedules are too murky, and they play each other too many times to randomly know who's going to end up precisely in that seed.
This is wild, like the six seed odds. Look at this, plus 210.
Astros plus 210, Blue Jays plus 230, Rangers plus 240, Mariners 3-1. Even the book is telling you. Forget that the Yankees are on that screen. Stop it with the Yankees. Even the book is telling you there's no way to know.
Right.
There's just absolutely no way to know the number five or six seed in the American League. There's too many teams jumbled. It has to do with who wins the AL West, and then from there it even is jumbled as well. For the National League now, same sort of markets exist for the number five and the number six seeds. Now here, this is interesting because the Phillies are probably going to be the number one wild card team. Number two and number three. Right now, the Cubs have the one-game lead, so they're the number two wildcard team. So they would be the number five seed currently, okay? Number two wildcard equals number five seed. So if you go to that, the Cubs currently are the plus 330, but they're tied in the loss column with the Diamondbacks, pardon me. So they are tied in the loss column, which is what you really need to look at. So the Diamondbacks are actually a short shot at plus 165. The Cubs are longer than the Marlins, which makes no real sense to me because the Marlins have a tough schedule and they're one game worse in the loss column. So right. Cubs plus 330 to be the number five seed is probably a really good bet. I know it's only a one game lead over who's in the number six position, but plus 330 is pretty juicy to just have that one-game lead with so few games left. I would actually take a shot at the plus 330.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about they're a half game back from the Diamondbacks and a half game above the Marlins.
Correct. But you're giving me over $3 for them to end up number five.
Right.
Let's put it this way. That's a better bet than anything in the American League five and six markets. So the Cubs to be number five at plus 330 gets a slight recommendation from me. And then for the number, do we have the number six seed at all? The number six seed in the National League, that's going to be a little more murky because this is where it really does come down to. Is it going to be the Diamondbacks and Cubs are right now in the driver's seat for five? Is it going to be the team that doesn't get five, which is why the Diamondbacks are plus 240 and the Cubs are plus 250? Or will it be from the Marlins, Reds, Giants? Mishu Goss after that. Giants now have fallen all the way back to 25-1, by the way, it should be noted. But hey, the Giants win today. That number will change drastically, too. I think Cubs number five, or maybe you do the thing thing with the Cubs Diamondbacks and you bet them both at number five and you make money figuring one will get there. Best Bets is next. Enjoy.